Hello, everybody, and welcome to Out Comes the Sun. I'm Marielle Hemingway. My significant partner, other partner, not my significant other. Wait, I'm confused. My partner, Melissa Yamaguchi, is not here today, but my significant other is going to be the guest today, and that's Bobby Williams. So there, I got it straight. I hear him. He's coming in the door now. But anyway, it's going to be exciting because we always have so much to talk about lifestyle and living life. There he is. Anyway, stay with us because we're going to talk. Who knows what we're going to talk about, but it'll be something cool. So Bobby Williams, my significant other, has created a machine that is really extraordinary, and we'll be able to talk about it today, which is pretty cool. We've never talked about it publicly. So this will be the first time to kind of talk about it once he feeds himself. And if you're watching this, you're not listening on the radio. If you're watching this, you can see him eating in the background because that's what Bobby does. He eats a lot. It's as though he's a teenage boy and he's 60 years old. How
are
you doing?
Bee pollen
and green juice is going into his mouth right now. That's what's happening. Okay. Now, what else did you put? Okay, green juice, bee pollen. You bought aloe vera juice. And
let me drink some of that. Good for the dog bite.
Oh. So I should tell the story. This will be part of the intro to this show. So Bobby, the day after Christmas, I think, the day after Christmas, anyway, it was Thursday after Christmas. So whatever date that was, 28th, 29th, something. He got bit by a pit bull in our neighborhood. And our neighborhood is very small. There's only like 3-4 houses in this whole area. It was a bad bite. And Bobby's a dog person, so it's not like he doesn't even find fault with the dog, because the dog got out of his yard. He had chased me. I was on a bicycle. He had chased me inside his fenced in area when I was biking home, and then he got out when Bobby came by, but he stopped because somebody was, it looked like there was a runner playing with him. He thought it was his dog. And it turns out the runner was trying to get the dog away from him. When Bobby stopped on the bike, he looked at Bobby and he charged him and literally bit like shark bite into his calf. It was frightening. I mean, crazy. And I would not have survived it. Bobby, of course, like, not a problem. We did go to the emergency room. We waited for 2.5 hours. And then Bobby said, I can go home and take care of this myself. So he got in a bath and I sat there with him while he soaked it in salt water and then put betadine, just packed it with betadine, and now it is however many days later, it's not infected and it is healing. It's still very ugly to look at, but that was our adventure over the holidays. Pretty interesting stuff. It was a little challenging, and I kept thinking, gosh, if that had been me, it would have been a problem. Anyway, I just told the dog story.
Poor guy.
Yep,
he bit me.
He bit you.
He was the guy. I think I heard her say something about the guy with the stick was a runner, and I didn't realize that he wasn't playing stick. He was hitting him with the stick because he just bit that guy's hand.
Yeah.
And then I came up on the bike. Turns out he doesn't like bikes. You know, I was told that he bites bike tires and pops them. So I didn't know any of this stuff. And I stood with my legs traveled over the bike, and I said, "Hey, how's it going?" And the dog made a beeline for me. And when he got to the bike, he leaped through the air and grabbed my calf and gave me the shark bite. Shook his head. Punched him in the face. So he bit my hand. He bit right through the hand. And then I hit him again. And he backed off, and then I yelled at him, and I looked at the guy that was like a couple hundred feet away, and I was like, what the? Come on, bro, are you kidding me? And he's like, well, it's not my dog, and he bit my hand. I'm out of here, and he just ran. So I then rode the bike around the property. The property's pretty big, like 5 acres, 7 acres, and ran to the front of the house with the bike and yelled for the people to come out. And then the dog came up to the gate. He had obviously come back in the yard. He dug a hole under the fence, it turns out. And I had told them what had happened, and they took my number and looked for the hole in the yard and found that. And he's not allowed up here for a while, and he's going to doggy training school, and he's never been anybody before. And I think it was the perfect storm, right? Somebody was hitting him with a stick. He doesn't like bikes, and he turned one after that, and he got me. So not a big deal, because Meryl and I went to the hospital, and
after 2.5 hours,
I was like, I gotta go. I haven't been here in 31 years, and let's keep the streak going. And all they were gonna do is flush it out. I mean, I could get plastic surgery on the scars of my legs. They're pretty, like, they look like sharp teeth bites. But I'll just have a scar and a little indentation, and I haven't done calf modeling in a long time, so I think I'm good to go.
As a mental health advocate and author, I love books. Books have the capacity to inspire, educate, transform, and ultimately help readers all over the world. So if you want to publish your book, or if you need help writing your story, I highly recommend Mindstir Media, rated the number one best book publisher around the country. Mindstir Media can help you no matter where you are in the book writing or publishing process. Go to mindstirmedia.com to learn more and schedule a consultation.
So I want you, this is the first time that we've actually ever spoken kind of publicly about your project, which has been, I mean, people say, oh, it's a new startup. It's this, it's that. Well, it's not new. It's
11 years old.
11 years old. Mm-hmm. And it's just really starting to take off. I'd love for you to describe Stratosphere to the people that are listening.
Talk about
Stratosphere. Stratosphere ATC, which is Stratosphere Athletic Training Conditioning.
Altitude Training and Conditioning.
Well, that, yeah.
That's the A.
Oops.
So it's a chamber that replicates being at altitude. It's the opposite of hyperbaric. It's hypo. In the chamber, you can exercise. I added lighting, sound, vibration, magnets, exercise, air turnover, and temperature change. And we play around with all these things. I can move air in and out of the chamber over 1,000 miles an hour. The fast speeds of going to Everest and back in 60 seconds are expanding every cell simultaneously, contracting them simultaneously on the way down, expansion on the way up, contraction on the way down. This stimulus with exercise tells your body to make EPO. And the EPO is up to, I would say, triple on some people. EPO, if anybody doesn't know what that is, erythropoietin, the kidneys make that. Lance Armstrong would inject that to get more oxygen in his blood. So this does it naturally. And what Marilyn and I like to talk about with this is biomimicry, right? So we're mimicking the mountains, we're bringing the mountains to you. Whereas people can't get to Everest, right? It's not an easy place to get to. Not that everybody trains at Everest. We don't really train above, you know, 19, 20,000 feet. We hit some higher elevations, 24, even more, depending on which chamber we're using. But for the most part, it's 19 and below with the training. And we get in that thing several times a week, and the sessions are 22 minutes, up to 30 minutes, depending on what we're doing. The Mayo Clinic has done studies, and they've done lots of blood work and lots of before and afters. People anywhere from 7 to 75 years old. Well, no. 79. Did I get an 85? Jerry West was in there. I think Jerry West is 85. So 7 to 85 years old. Stimulates stem cell growth, extends telomeres, regresses senescent cells, increases VO2 max. I have the same lung capacity I had when I was 25. Just makes you a healthier human being all the way around. some of the reasons, the catalyst for me building this were, I'm not a hawk, just fluent history. I'm not a big fan of steroids. HGH, have friends that competed against people in college, and you know, they beat them through college, and then all of a sudden they go to the Olympics and the Olympic trials, and somebody's on drugs and we don't know it, and the drug guy gets a gold medal and the other guy stays home. You know, I understand that a lot of people take drugs, but I'm like, I'm just against them. TRT, you hear about it all the time. Everybody's doing HGH and TRT, and they're saying it's synthetic and it's this and that. I'd rather create something that stimulates these things naturally.
So it's stimulate. So what you're saying is that this will stimulate your EPO, your stem cells.
Yeah, yeah, raises testosterone. I mean, this is all Mayo Clinic, you guys. This isn't me talking. This, you know, even though I talk about it, I have validation and 6 years of studies and more. And I believe that this thing is a device that will change the human race. And I think that we will become a much better people. And Meryl and I have a little video we put together, and we talk about, you know, if people are able to be better, they'll make better decisions and the planet will be better. Everybody will be better. It's all about, you know, being healthy. Also, Father Time's undefeated, right? Nobody gets out alive, but I feel like that this chamber will help us extend that time, take Father Time to the later rounds.
Right.
Instead of retiring at 65 and passing away at 75, which is around the average, let's double that. Let's not retire. Let's just keep doing things while we're here. And
right.
Rather than suffering and having all this pain and all this stuff at the end of our lives, let's stop that as well.
Well, and I think that what we're trying to do, if I can speak and kind of interject something, is that longevity for us is really lifestyle choices. And this just enhances your lifestyle choices to make you make better decisions in every aspect of your life, how you're eating. I mean, it doesn't change that we still believe in the seven doctors: Dr. Sun, Dr. Air, Dr. Water, Dr. Exercise, Dr. Nutrition, Dr. Earth, and Dr. Rest.
Correct.
Those are the foundation. And then to have a chamber like this that you can go in and simulate through biomimicry, simulate the mountains, bringing the mountains to you. It's pretty extraordinary. I mean, I'm blown away. So Bobby, in case you're just watching, this is our chamber. He's showing it.
There it is. That is in a little place in Santa Monica. It is almost 11,000 pounds and it's pretty badass.
It is amazing. It is amazing. I have to tell you, you know, for the last, 6 years we've had the other one, the original.
Yeah.
Kind of the Iron Man.
Iron Man one.
Clunky one. Is in Scottsdale, Arizona. And Bobby would go there quite often. I would go there once in a while, not very often. But when Bobby would go there, I could tell instantly if he'd been in the chamber, because he would call me. He had so much energy. He was so happy. He was so everything. His clarity was just unbelievable. And I knew he'd been in the chamber, and I was so jealous. So now it's really nice because we are both.
I'm going to hold that up so you can read it.
Oh, we need to flip that around. I wonder if we can flip it.
No, can't read it. And it also takes the color away. The H is blue and the W is red.
But this that is our, that's yeah, our, that's our logo for Williams Hemingway.
Yeah.
I wonder why that shows up that way.
I guess it's
interesting.
Like for a second, it's red. Yeah. So we're integrating those seven doctors. We're integrating our names and likeness into the whole Stratosphere Life Foundation. I have a life foundation that I created, and we're doing lots of really cool stuff here. This is written today. You guys will like it.
Is this by Bruce?
Mm-hmm.
And Bruce Johnson is our chief scientific officer in the chamber. He's also a doctor.
So we're talking about creating these labs. Eventually, we take Stratosphere brand, elevate it to some secretive, highly exclusive visionary level to make labs or centers or excellence of excellence, one focus on any and all emerging technologies for human performance, the Optimum Lab, another on advanced longevity, the Telestrami Lab, another on military applications, maybe another exclusively around cognitive brain health, et cetera. Each is sort of an independent entity, and we fund around the themes. We get four or five of these semi-hidden, elite, and creative but reputable centers going, keep an air of mystery around them while we are trying to figure out how to make these better humans. You know, I have one buddy, he's huge into the Bible, and he's always, you know, hit me with different things. And I was raised Irish Catholic and believe in certain things the way I believe in them. And it's not the Catholic Church, but I have my relationship of how I see Jesus and how I say God and all those things. And anyway, I said, there's one thing in the Bible that I definitely believe. And he's like, what's that? I go, well, you know, that 900 years that people live, I'm going for that. So he laughs about that all the time. You know, and there's people I talked to a physiologist today. He said, oh, you know, people are, you know, biologically 135. And I'm like, I think we can go longer than that. But this is what's coming, everybody. I mean, I believe that that COVID was a catalyst for us to be even better. I think we can all get better and live happy,
healthy,
you know, healthy, longer, amazing, just profound stuff. I love this space, you know, and I love the planet, and I love where we live, and I love the mountains. Have you ever flipped us around to show them what that looks like for a second?
No.
Just that way. Okay, so okay.
Can you see out our out our window? Well, there was a reflection. You can see them. Those are the mountains. I'm going to take it outside. I'm going outside. This is our view right now. We were in Venice for a while. That was interesting, but this is so powerful. It's a little out of focus because the background is out of focus, but how cool is that?
That's only because it's so dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. So mountains and ocean, that's all that is out there. So we're at about 2,000 feet out here. And so Marilyn and I are huge and going up and down the mountains, and that's a big catalyst for how all of this started. The coast is always fogged in. And so I took off to the mountains and I became a rock climber, and I kept going to the mountains and kept going up to elevations of 7,000 to 10,000 feet, all the way up to 14,496, which is Mount Whitney. But I would do this weekly. And when I talked to Bruce about this, he said, it's one of the reasons why I'm as healthy as I am up and down the mountains. When you go up, your body wants to make red blood cells and replicate all these great pharmacological things that your body makes, and come back to sea level, I would then, you know, recover. And so all I'm doing is the same exact thing with the Stratosphere, only it expedites everything that I did. Bruce did studies of the Sherpas up on Everest, and they have a different DNA than we have. So within 24 to 48 hours of jumping into the chamber, your genome expression changes and your DNA actually uploads and changes as well as if you're at the elevations that you were, and replicates these red blood cells, progenitor cells, stem cells for the next like 72 hours. And then starts to fade off. And we're getting more deeply into the scientific research and studies as we go along. And this year I'm placing 20 chambers at very strategically places like the Performance Institute of the UFC, or you know, stuff at, you know, Mountain Home for the Navy SEALs. We're doing military secured software, you know, and
Mountain Home, Idaho.
No, Mountain Home is the name of the stuff for the SEALs on the East Coast with Rudolph Tanzi. We're also I want everybody to know that
base.
Is it home base?
Base. Okay. Yeah. I was like Mountain Home.
I was close. Home base, Mountain Home, same thing. Yeah. Yeah. So
mountains to the home base.
We're also not leaving out the fact that I want to take this to the point of where everybody can afford it and it could be in somebody's, you know, home. you know, for less than.
Yeah. So even though that we're talking about these exclusive centers, which will be for high performance athletes and sort of that, that's kind of how we go into the market. But our dream, or Bobby's dream, I should say, really is to help every human on planet Earth to be healthier and happier. So there will be a home version eventually, which is going to be.
So it's a foundational, it's a foundational tool for life. Okay. So one thing you do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week is breathe. And most of us breathe improperly, including myself, you know, who, you know, I started working on it a few years back, but everybody talks about aging. My take is the first thing that ages is your lungs. They do the most work. They're 75% of the detox. And the more you train those and keep those up, the better. By the time you're 60, on average, you have 30% less lung capacity. So let's do the math on that. Each time you take a breath, you have 30% less oxygen going to the brain and all the vital organs. However, exercise helps keep that up. The stratosphere is 10x keeping that up. It regenerates tissues in the lungs. There's scientific research out there about a blank cell that was discovered in the lungs 2019. Stratosphere is the catalyst of that during exercise, making these blank cells turn into these stem cells that regenerate the alveoli.
Yeah.
And again, a lot of scientific research continued. It will not stop. Proofs in the pudding. You get in the chamber one session, you feel better. It doesn't matter.
You feel better. Because I mean, when you're going in, and I'll just make it so basic for people to understand, you're literally, Bobby usually is outside kind of orchestrating this. You're going up and down in altitude. You start out at, you know, sea level, if you're at sea level, and you go up to as high as what, 24,000 feet?
One chamber goes 24,000. The other one goes to, 33,000. So,
but in general, you try to make people go as high as, you know, 20 to 24 max if you're in that kind of shape. But that going up and down expands and contracts every cell in your body, which is extraordinary, which means every cell in your body is getting exercised. Right? It's getting expansion, contraction. That's extraordinary.
Well, the other thing about the chamber that I need everybody to know, it's PVHO, pressure vessel for human occupancy certified, ASME, American Standard Mechanical Engineering. Unlike that submarine, right, that a lot of you know imploded, this would never implode. It is the amount of regulations you, every well is x-rayed. Everything about the chamber is so high end. It's over-engineered. Personally, I'm like, do you really need to do this much? But this is all the safety precautions. This is what's taken so long. This is why it costs so much money. So you have to replicate and replicate and replicate and keep going. No different than a cell phone, only this is much more important. So super important to let everybody know that this is one of a kind that's been done the right way. And it took 12 years. I'm in my 12th year.
So explain to us that sometimes you're recovering, right? But sometimes you're exercising. What kind of exercise are you doing in the gym?
Okay, everything from VersaClimber, rowing machine, treadmills like Woodway Curve. Woodway Curve has been really gracious and given us their equipment. They have a 35-degree treadmill that you can walk up and down.
I have to say that I did that yesterday. It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible to be going up in altitude. Like you see yourself and you're like 19,000 feet and I've got the thing at this angle, super steep angle, and you're at altitude. I felt like I was climbing Everest.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's kind of mind bending and amazing. So
the exercise, I have to say, really, that's the game.
It's 5x than sedentarily sitting there. You know, I'm not saying that you don't get anything sedentarily sitting there, because you do, but you get a lot more out of the exercise.
Again and again, people are discovering that exercise is the key.
Well, Bruce Johnson, the head of Extreme Human Performance, he's exercise bar none still is the fountain of youth. And you got to find out what exercise is best for you. And, you know, all these people out there, there's so many people working on it. Going for walks with a weighted vest is really super healthy. Sprints, you know, 20 seconds on, then walk and recover, 20 seconds on, walk and recover. Doing something like, you know, 10 of those is far better than going for a 20 mile run.
Right.
You know, how many burpees you can do in a short period of time. This 20 minute thing is a big number for how long to train or what kind of intensity.
How things have changed over the years. I mean, I know that you and I both, we've been exercising our whole lives, but it was such a, you know, like cardio was such a big deal in the 80s,
never.
90s, right? You weren't into it, but I
never.
Was like,
never.
I was like, oh.
So wrestling, you know, and fortunate to have met some cool people. You know, I got invited to Iowa for the Olympic trials in 1992 by a guy that I hung around with, Rico Ciparelli, who had won the NCAAs, and Royce Alger was there, and all these cool guys were there. But it's 7 minutes, you guys. So am I really going to go out and try to run a marathon? It's like, how can I get in the best shape I can for 7 minutes? So that's wrestling, and that's what it is. It's super high intensity. I mean, as much as you could possibly give in that. So I always train that way. Now, what's crazy about just training that way and not getting a foundation, you have to have a combination of both. I think it's more high intensity than this, the you know, the long, arduous runs or bike rides. I would go into fight or flight because I'm ready. It would be that. I'm ready, you know, and to be that. So it was so intense. So it went into every part of my physiology. I'm on an audition. Okay. Words are just going to come out of my mouth and I'm going to talk a little bit. Heart rate's 150. 150 walking into the room? What is that? You know, it's because I gear up and I'm ready to go. It's like, I did that, you know, since I was 7 years old. That's what you do. So to learn how to go for hikes, when I met Mariel, she's like, we're going on a hike. For what? And she's like, because that's what you do in Sun Valley. We have hiking trails. I'm like, for what? And she's like, well, to go out and exercise. I'm like, hiking's something I have to do to get to a rock face. So you hike in and you hike out, but you don't hike for exercise, do you? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, that's weird. And all the people up in Sun Valley were into hiking and biking and distances, and it was all about cardio. And I'm like, you only need cardio for a short spurt. Why would you do that? Like, why would you do this long cardio? You can go up and down the mountain. They were doing things on Mount Baldy, I think 9 laps up and down the mountain to replicate Everest. Everest, yeah. So they got 27,000. Yeah, 9 times. Yeah,
then
exactly.
Because it's 3,200 feet of altitude gained.
Speaking of which, this phone call is the raw milk place up in Ketchum, Sun Valley, Idaho. Do you mind if I take it for 1 second? Tell them I'll call them back. This is where we get our raw milk.
Literally the best milk in the world. So if you know
Mariel, so Mariel wouldn't drink raw milk, but I was getting from the Amish, and she wouldn't drink raw milk that came from the stores here, but he took Jersey cows and Holstein cows and mixed the milk. Don't know what it is. Don't know the grasses. Don't know the things that he's doing, which are just absolutely amazing. But it's like,
I will drink that milk. It's so
the cats, good. The dogs. Oh,
everybody like lines up at our house.
Like more of that goes. Yeah.
Please.
So that's kind of stratosphere. I'm not supposed to let that out of the box yet, but you know, it is 2024 and there'll be 20 of them out there and everybody's gonna hear about it. We're designing our website, our brand. We're integrating Mariel and I into the brand. We're talking to a lot of military personnel. You know, there's so many different Olympic committee people. Division I schools, professional sports teams, professional athletes, some amazing actors that I've never met have come in and they love this. And Mariel and I are also opening a space in Malibu, California. This one is, you know, in a little lab that we have in Santa Monica temporarily, but the Malibu space is going to be cool. And that's, you know, the WH. And by the way, the Williams Hemingway thing, one of the other reasons why we we're working with our names. There's no copyright lawsuit. It's our own name. So we're good there. On top of which, the WNH are wellness and health, which is really cool.
Awesome. And so, and I want you to, because you're so good at explaining everything. I want you to explain a little bit of what the Williams Hemingway brand is, what that philosophy is.
Well, the wellness and health part. I'm wellness, she's health. There you go. I think the philosophy, again, it's a biomimicry thing. We're self-healing, self-sufficient, self-sustaining, provided the right environment and information. That's not to say that, hey, you get a broken bone, you don't go to the doc. Our emergency medical care is great. Our preventative, not so great. So preventative is on all of us. It is, you know, as a kid, I know that when I started lifting weights, you know, as a kid, and then as a teenager, and you wanted to have muscles, you wanted to look good at the beach, and the things you did it for when you were younger, also play better sports and all that. That was really the reason you were doing it. But the other things came with it. You know, my relatives were sort of old school and all about 60-80-hour weeks of working. And, you know, they look at that as a little bit of like, you know, selfish to work out, or maybe even narcissistic. And it turns out, like, you know what's selfish? Not to take care of yourself, because, you know, I could get pretty black and white about it. You don't want somebody to have to be wiping your ass at 80 years old, then you better start working out and taking care of yourself. The largest organ in your body is not your skin, it's muscle. And so the more quality, dense, amazing muscle you have from biking, hiking, surfing, running, playing, jumping, gymnastics, lifting weights, the better that stuff is, the better the digestion works, the stronger the heart is, the better the brain works, the more neurons that you make, and new neural nets from trying these new things. So, you know, it's actually a selfless thing to be healthy, because you can help quite a few more people, including yourself.
And the great thing about what we're talking about, because we talk a lot on Outcomes of Sun about mental health, but I'm always saying that our mental health has everything to do with what you're doing physically and vice versa.
The brain games and all the stuff that everybody talks about. Guess what's better than a brain game? Going out and trying a new exercise and you know, running barefoot. And we're made to homeosis.
Walking. Homeostasis.
No, homeosis. Homeosis is put yourself in a little bit of a little bit of harm's way, if you will. We're meant to get skin our knees and go out and run barefoot. We're meant to jump.
Yeah, physically stressed.
Yeah, all these stressors, jumping in that cold water. You know, temperatures here are, is that Wellington?
Welly's very upset that
Welly,
we're not paying attention. Welly's one of our cats.
Yeah, so.
He's talking, I'll go get him.
No, he's coming. He'll come. As soon as you call him, he does that. There's Mal. Yeah, so. These stressors, Meryl and I love. I told you you'd come. You should. So hot and cold. We sauna and cold plunge. My grandfather, as a kid, would have me jump in the Long Island Sound. Right. I think he started me doing that in March at 8 or 9 years old. And so I started cold plunging when I was a kid. One of the other things that I talk about, and one of the reasons why we're big into this health and wellness thing, is my buddy Chris trying to call me, and he'll keep calling because we have this ongoing thing. You pick up the phone when I call. So I turned it off. Somebody asked me the other day that was doing an article for something. I don't remember what it was. They said, how long have you been biohacking? And I said, I started when I was 5. And they were like, what? Five? Really? And they're like, yeah, I grew in the '60s. And they're like, why is that? And I said, because my grandfather died. Nobody told me that people died. I remember touching him, and he was cold in the casket, you know, again, Irish Catholic. I cried, thought that I was going to die next. My dad was going to die. Everybody's going to die. We're all going to die. Wow. Oh my God, we die. So nobody told me that. That was the first adult lie. So, that continued. My grandmother moved into a convent, from that, because she was so broken up, my grandfather passing. And like I said, we were devout Catholics and you know, Northeast, we, you know, got through that together as a family. But I look at this and I said, you know, this is crazy. And I started noticing, I said to my mom when I was like 6, I was like, why do you drink coffee after dinner? You know, this is at Easter and Thanksgiving and just the holidays and Christmas. coffee, cigarettes, cake, and alcohol. That's an adult thing. The cake I could have, but the other stuff, that was for adults. And I was like, let's, you know, I started looking at that, and then this fat guy came over. He wasn't super fat, but he was heavy and bloated and smoking cigarettes. He had a suit on, and it was in the middle of the week when I was like six. I said to my dad, what, you know, that guy just come from church? He's like, no. And I you know, because I remember the suits at the funeral, and then when you go to church, you wear the suits. You know, this is back in the 60s. And he said, no, he's an adult. Adults wear suits, and he's a businessman. And the word adult, right? The adults die. The adults smoke the cigarettes, drink the alcohol, eat the crazy stuff. They wear suits. This guy was fat, smoking cigarettes with a polyester suit on, looked uncomfortable. And I was like, oh my God. At by seven, I was like, adults pay mortgages. My dad told me what a mortgage was and taxes. And I was like, well, we don't pay any taxes. He's like, what do you mean? I said, we won the Boston Tea Party. We don't pay taxes. And, you know, I started noticing that all these things that adults did were not good. So I said, I got an idea. If I don't become an adult, none of this stuff is applicable to me.
And
so
here I am. Everybody know that Bobby is not an adult. And
never- nor are any of you. 80% of our brains are developed by the time we're seven. I'm seven. She's seven. You guys are seven. 80% of you. You can sit there and have a PhD and put on the mask and tell me you're a doctor, a lawyer, an astronaut. You speak 10 languages. I travel. You are seven. We're seven. Our problems stem from conception to seven predominantly. We work on those and figure out what happened to us. We'll have much better lives. But I talk to everybody like they're seven. We all just want to, you know, go outside and play. At least that's how I think. So this, the adult thing. And then I said this to Mariel the other day. I told her about the adult. I go, what does this mean?
I looked it up.
Yeah. Mariel looked it up.
Adult. Is a stupid person.
A stupid person. An ignorant, stupid person. How about this? They make us adults to work 80 hours a week and pay the taxes and the mortgage and all the stuff and to do what we're supposed to do instead of doing what we can do. And then you die. And it's like, okay, I don't think I want to be this thing called adult. And it also says below that, a dumb-witted, stupid person, it says it's akin to somebody who locked their keys in their car and they're yelling and complaining about it while the window is open. I'm like, yeah. And let me take it to one more level. John Lennon wrote a paper at around that age, 7, 8 years old. What do you want to be when you grow up? He wrote a couple of letters, H-A-P-P-Y, that they failed him. And then they called the parents in and said he didn't do the assignment. And they said, tell your teacher what you told us. He said, well, adults are unhappy. And he goes, I just want to be happy when I grow up. I don't need to be a lawyer or a doctor or this or that, whatever it is. And he said, I just want to be happy. So that changed it right there. And I was like, same here, man. That was the thing. I was like, I just want to be happy. So I don't know. Mariel and I are kind of like little kids. We said this before to you guys. We are 6 and 7 years old for most of the day. When we end up getting close to 30 at the end of the day, before we go to bed, we're back to being 6 or 7 years old. And that's kind of how we live our lives. And that's not saying that we're not supposed to have responsibility and that we you know, you don't have jobs and you don't get seen in the world for these things, but.
And you don't step up and be professional when you need to be, but.
But 80% of your brain
you should be having fun. I mean,
and 80% of your brain is developed by 7. 80%. Yeah. No matter how much you fill your head with the next 40, 50, 60, 70 years, whatever it is.
But whatever you're doing also, you need to really enjoy. We break into laughter, you know, so many times a day just doing.
Yeah, that's another statistic. It's another statistic we talk about. The average adult, again, that word. 20 to 30 times a day they laugh. Children 300 to 400. Who do you want to be? The kids laughing, or do you want to be the kids not laughing? You're still the kid. So I want to be.
I was thinking about it today, you know, because I look at my granddaughter, our granddaughter now, and all she does is laugh. Like you look at her and she waves and then she laughs and she laughs and laughs and laughs and laughs. And then you think about how we develop as human beings, you know, and then they start going to school and they still are playing and laughter and you hear them on the playground. But as they become teenagers, that's such an interesting time because that's when they are kind of almost like they're pretending I want to be older because, you know, I guess that's what teenagers, especially nowadays, because of social media and the influences that they get, that they change and they don't think they should laugh as much and they want to be cooler and they want to act more adult like. It's interesting. I don't know. I was just thinking about it today because as I watch my little granddaughter, it just amuses me how we humans shift and change and try to develop and try to be something. And as a teenager, you're trying to be something.
It becomes a mask of sorts. Yeah. You know, people have these masks on. And so when I use the analogy of, you know, being childlike or a kid, you know, I heard this one saying a long time ago, children are library books that we rent until they're 10 years old to remind us who we actually are.
Yeah.
And how much truth is in that? I mean, that's one of the greatest sayings ever. And it's not Peter Pan. It's like being who you are, man, the essence of who you actually are. And I'm
the innocence of a child. They come out and they're so, you know, when they ask you a question, it's pure. It doesn't come from
what can I get?
Calculated thought. Manipulative thinking
so that was one of the that's one of the things of telling the truth. If you play this game of continually trying to work people or the system, and you talk to this person this way and that person this way, and you do this like this because your job's like this, and you have this like house of cards, instead just tell the truth all the time so you don't have to remember what it is that you said and how you said it. You just are who you are. You show up and you be you. The more you show up and be you, and the less you try to manipulate people or the conversation or whatever the context is in front of you, the more real it becomes. And you never have to think.
Right.
Like, you know, oh, did I say that? Or did I try to do that? Or, you know, I don't know. I think it's amazing that Meryl and I ran into each other when we did. We always say this, we wish we met when we were younger. We have so many similarities. And I think that we can make a difference in the world working together to help men and women and things like stratosphere and lifestyle. And, you know, the planet's going to be fine. If we can make better people, the planet's going to be great. It'll
be great because people will want to make healthier, better choices.
If we make better people, they'll make better decisions, better planet.
Yeah.
You know, and we can only do that together, right? It's the whole thing of, you know, you want to go far, go together. You want to go fast, go alone. And I think that there's a lot of people coming together to do these great things to make better people.
Yep.
And doing so, you know, rids pain and suffering. We get to have fun while we're doing it. Expansive thinking, expansive everything. You know, I we love this space. I love this space. Health and wellness is an amazing thing. And I think that we're in one of the most amazing times ever. I mean, Meryl and I are both still 70s people. Not that we don't, you know, use tech, but the original instant message face-to-face, that's the way to go. I don't know if I ever give these numbers online, but 57% of our human connection in person is the tone of our voice, our eye, our movement, our head movement, our hand movement, right? And then 36%. So 57% is the physical, 36% is the tone of voice, 93% total of the human connection. And then 7% is the content in which you're speaking about. And so kids, when they text, have a 7% human connection. So they feel alone. Unlike Meryl and I in the 60s and 70s, when we grew up, teenage epidemic was teenage pregnancy. Now it's teenage suicide. Boys would rather kill themselves than kiss the prettiest girl in class. That is the saddest thing I've ever heard. If I could go back to junior high school and make out with the girls that scared the hell out of me so I could tell my friends what it was like kissing so-and-so. I mean, I just think we've lost our way with some of this stuff, and we need to get people to reconnect and do this again, you know, and connect that way. And I have a buddy, Dave Sutcliffe. You can look him up on Instagram, you know, he talked about giving vouchers for jiu-jitsu classes for depressed people. And they would go to jiu-jitsu and do six sessions with the gi and the whole thing. And they'd all come back with smiles on their face because they made new friends. They rolled around, they touched, they connected. And, you know, it was like, hey, we got to be human. You know, back in the 30s, I think it was, they did that experiment with the kids. They're like, we're going to keep them in a room, incubators where they are not getting touched by bad air, bad stuff. We give them the good food. We won't have the right, they won't have these people all, you know, pawing over them all stuff. The kids started to die because they weren't connected. They weren't held. And, you know, you go and at that point in time, you go from, you know, being in your mom's stomach and being connected to disconnected because you're alone. So you need to even more being held, even more children need more. And so when these teenagers, they're still developing. They need to be touched and talked and heard and listened to. When you look at somebody and you look in their eyes, you feel, you know, more heard, more understood, more listened to. You know, it's so important. So yeah, you know, technology. Okay, I get it, but put it down and go have a conversation with somebody. You know, sit down at the dinner table and have these conversations that you're supposed to have about the day, so you feel heard and listened to and understood. I mean, that's
so that just makes you in a relationship. You're growing from that. In a family, you grow. Everybody grows,
and you support
those conversations. And also, yeah, they can you share the problem. You know, like I wonder. Because, you know, teenagers have a hard time communicating with adults. So I think if you keep that line of communication, I think of Eddie and Lauren with their kids and their lines of communication. I mean, they're still
teenagers. Small. Teenagers do not have any problem connecting with people who aren't adults.
True.
So don't become adult.
Yeah, there you go.
Stay child. I have never had a problem speaking to anybody, like whether it's a child, a teenager, 20s, 30s, 40s. And I have super uber respect for people in their, you know, 80s, 90s. I ask them as many questions as I can. They actually experience things that we've never seen, been part of, or understood.
Well, we talked a lot about that on this show because, you know, our respect for the elders in, you know, in the world that we live in today has gone down the tube, especially in America. And it's sad because the elders are where the stories come from, the wisdom, and, you know, and they come from a different time. It's an important thing to hold on to the wisdom keepers.
Well, you know what?
Of the elders.
You know what I was going to say?
What?
I was going to say people like older people, like 60. I was ready to say 60. I was like, oh, I'm 60. Can't say I was around way back in the 60s when I was born. Things were different. My grandfather told me whatever decade it is, he's like, take it back 100 years. And he goes, and think about that time and work from there. So for me, a lot of times I'll be like, it's not 2024. It's 1924.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
how do people treat each other in 1924? More respect, right?
Yeah.
More understanding, more listening. There's no tech. Like, be a 1924 person for the day. Act like that. Like, it you can't believe it. Hold the door for somebody, you know, behave like you would, like it was 1924. You will notice a huge difference in the way people
treat you.
It's
so true.
Yeah.
It's so true. This has been so much fun. You have to come back as you
wait, know. What's the question?
We can wrap when we're ready.
That's a big question.
That's a big question.
Yeah.
It's a big question. Anyway, we're
well, Meryl did the clap. That's a wrap. When you do the clap, it's over.
This has been so much fun. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for listening to Bobby about Stratosphere ATC, altitude training conditioning. Excuse me for getting that wrong in the beginning. For talking about Williams Hemingway or wellness and health.
I like the athletic training and conditioning, too.
Yeah, well, and wellness and health and the seven doctors and our philosophy on life and not becoming an adult. Like, just don't do it because nobody wants to be adult.
Isn't that crazy?
Isn't that crazy?
How about that? That's the definition.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening, everyone. You're listening to Outcomes of Sun Radio on Dash, on YouTube, on Spotify, on where else? Apple, anywhere you're listening, we are so grateful to you. And always remember that this does help us to reach our goal for the Mary L. Hemingway Foundation to become a resource navigator. And all I want to do is be able to guide people towards the recovery that they need, because there's recovery out there for everyone who's suffering from any kind of mental, mental illness or problem in their lives. We send you so much love, and we hope that you're healthy and happy in this brilliant new year.
So read that.
So Williams and Hemingway, what matters most, taking care of ourselves, ultimately is taking care of those we love. To help others, we must be healthy ourselves.
There you go.
That's it. Thank you so much, everyone.